So the reading is Luke 19:28-40, and we actually heard that read almost in the kids' video. But I'll read it again. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent the two disciples ahead. "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As you enter, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks why are you untying that colt, just say the Lord needs it." So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying that colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they'd seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." Which is a bit of an awesome thought, isn't it? This story is all about, this incident is all about Jesus is the King. And you could say, well, it's a bit of, you know, it's a street theatre, street demonstration, but the symbolism all revolves around the fact that Jesus is the King. And he's coming to the city of Jerusalem to claim it. So in the olden days, in those times, if a king was riding on a horse coming towards you, you knew you were in for trouble because he was all set out for battle and warfare. If he came on a donkey, it was to claim what he'd already won. So Jesus is saying, "Look, I'm the King," and he's heading into Jerusalem and he's claiming it. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he's saying, "Jerusalem is my city." Of course, he's not going to win it by violence. He's going to win it by peace. The crowd responds with palm branches with a symbol of one of many symbols of Israel. So they're saying, "Oh, we've got a new king. He's going to set us free from the Israelites and from the Romans rather, and he's going to establish Jerusalem as the new capital city of a free and prosperous Israel." Well, that wasn't Jesus' intention at all, but that was the way it was interpreted. And the palm branches are part of the interpretation, part of the nationalism. The crying out of Hosanna doesn't actually say it in that passage, but they were crying out Hosanna, which just means the Lord saves, or could mean save us, Lord. It doesn't matter, but in the time of Jesus, again, this had become like the slogan of the nationalists, the people that wanted to declare independence from Rome, and nobody declared independence from Rome. Bit like the Hotel California, you can check in, but you can never check out. And that was the way it worked with the Roman Empire. So they're waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna and declaring basically, this king's going to save us. But Jesus is a different king. Five days later on Good Friday, in John's account of his trial before Pontius Pilate, there's a bit of argy-bargy, a bit of toing and froing between Jesus and Pilate about whether he's a king. And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. I have a different form of kingdom." "Ah, so you are a king then," said Pilate. and the conversation goes on. But Jesus is a different king. He's not a king that rises to power by birth or by political structures or by power plays or whatever. He's a king who is established by God. And his kingdom is a different kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven, not just a kingdom on earth. And it was a kingdom that was inaugurated on Good Friday on the cross. And here we have a peaceful conquest. Napoleon Bonaparte was one of the great emperors of Europe. We don't talk about him much in our culture because, well, it was a long time ago. And it wasn't the bit of Europe that spoke English, but he established this. He was a Frenchman. He established a bit of an empire across Europe. And at one stage, as he was approaching death, he said to one of his guys, one of his officers, you know, there have been three great emperors in Europe. One was Charlemagne, who he was part of the Holy Roman Empire. Another one, I think, was he mentioned Julius Caesar. And then the third one was himself. And he said, Jesus' empire is bigger than any of those previous empires. And he said, and you know what's weird? He didn't actually say those words because he was speaking French and not speaking quite as colloquially. He said, the strange thing is, Jesus has established this huge empire and every other emperor has had to rule by fear, but Jesus rules by love. It's a very different empire, very different kingdom. And the rulers of this world that have recognized who Jesus is, recognize it's a different empire. It's a greater empire because his followers follow because of, because they want to, not because they have to, I guess. The third point is this, is that Jesus is your king. We have a choice at this point. Will we acknowledge that Jesus is king? In Philippians chapter 4, I think it is, it says that, no, chapter 2, it says something about every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we have a choice. We can either do that willingly now or unwillingly on the day of judgment. Jesus is king. In other words, he gets to determine what we do with our lives, and we can have a choice. And he's the choice that for many of us we sort of there's two levels, if you like, as well as the one that I just mentioned, the end time level. But a lot of us admit that Jesus is king, but it's sort of like, you know, up there in your head, Scott Morrison is Prime Minister, Jesus is King, acceleration due to gravity is 9.8 metres per second squared. There's a whole lot of facts that we store in our head, and if you're a Christian, Jesus is King could be just one more fact. But that's not the sort of kingship, that's not the sort of reign that he's looking for. Yeah, we can say, oh, Jesus is king, Jesus is my king, and then life just goes on as normal, and we determine the course of our lives. But the choice that we have to make is, Jesus is my king, therefore I must align my life, reorientate my life around what he wants. And that's when that choice, Jesus is king, sort of gets to your heart. At the minister's fraternal on Tuesday, not sure where we got to this point, but somebody raised a question like, maybe I just mentioned, you know, I've been following Jesus for 40-something years. And somebody said, well, what makes the difference? Why does it stick? Why does the gospel stick? Why does discipleship stick with some people as opposed to others? And at that stage, I got shared how I became a Christian. But my conclusion from that question is this. Some people just, it goes right into their hearts, you know. That following Jesus isn't just a matter of turning up on church on Sunday night. You make a decision. Margaret and I both, like, independently of knowing each other even, we decided when we became Christians, there's a many-year gap between those events, that both of us made this decision. We were going to give our whole life to God, and our whole life was going to revolve around serving him, regardless of what that cost, regardless of what that meant, regardless of the direction that that would take us. And so, having made that decision to follow Jesus in my first year at university studying engineering, I quickly came to an understanding, like within months, that my service of Jesus would mean that I would only be working as an engineer for a maximum of 5 years after I finished university. And that's what happened, you know. I was working in Wollongong, tending the steelworks for 2 years, and then working for the water board for 2 years after that. And then God called us to go to Hay to be pastors. But it was out of that decision that we made, or that I made and that Margaret made, that we were going to follow Jesus. And it was like a heart decision. It wasn't just a matter of saying in an intellectual way, Jesus is king. We really meant it when we said that Jesus is my king. He's the boss. He's going to direct our lives. So it doesn't mean when you choose that you have to become a pastor. But, you know, Jesus calls us to do all sorts of different things. Jesus often talked about taking up your cross and following him. And what that's about is dying to yourself, so that this business of Jesus is our king means that from now on, I'm dead to myself and I'm alive only to what Jesus wants for me. Everything that I previously wanted to do with my life, every ambition that I want, every desire for goods or money or pleasure or whatever, I'm dying to all that. And that doesn't mean you have to be miserable for the rest of your life. It just means that you just do what God tells you to do. And it doesn't mean you never get to go motorbike riding ever again, or never get to go on holidays ever again, or whatever. It just means that whereas other people define their whole lives in terms of what they want to do, we must now define our life. What does God want me to do? What does Jesus want me to do? It means letting go of the choices that we make. So, put an extra slide in there that I didn't know we had. So there we have Palm Sunday, is acknowledging that Jesus is King. On Friday, we acknowledge that Jesus takes up his King in a very remarkable way. He takes it up by dying for his followers. Then on Sunday, the remarkable thing happens. Oh, Jesus raises him to life. Story isn't finished on Good Friday. And that's a parable too, I guess, an illustration of what happens in our lives. We take up our cross. We decide that our life isn't worth living the way we want to do it. We're going to let Jesus do it. So we die to ourselves. And then he raises us to a new form of life. Maybe you've never thought about it in those terms before. Maybe for you, being a Christian is just part of what you do, following Jesus, go to church on Sunday. Well, today, I just invite you to make that decision, if you've never done it before, to decide, yeah, Jesus is everything, I'm nothing. What Jesus wants with my life is what's most important. Father, I just want to come before you now and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for leading me over the last 40-something years of just following you. And Lord, I don't pretend to be in any way perfect or to achieve the standard of righteousness that you have laid out for us. But Lord, I know that I'm on a path of dying to me and living to you. And Lord, just pray for anyone here that's in that position today that wants to do that. Lord, come and take hold of that desire to follow you. Take hold of that desire to die to themselves, Lord, and show them the way ahead. Show them, Lord, the way that they need to go to be become more like Jesus, to become more nearly the follower of Jesus than in the past. Thank you, Lord, that when we do that, you honour that decision. And you give our life new meaning, new fullness, new purpose, Lord. Amen.